Yo, what is up? We are back again on Funny Stories with Ocean Glapion, the podcast. Another episode. I'm excited today. I'm very thrilled. One of the best PR girls in this business that we call entertainment. Please put your hands together if you're wherever you're at home. Alexandria, what's good? How are you, girl?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Did you like that intro?
Intro was good. I think I'm going to hire you for my next event, whenever that
exactly
is.
Exactly.
Like,
that
if
is.
I become an entertainer, hide me on hire. For sure.
Well, that's what I used to do. I used to, for a long time when I was the host of comedy shows, I would try to bring people up the best that I could.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So, I forget, that's right. You guys like have to kind of host the next one that's like coming on.
Yeah.
And to be like, here you
go. Here's the next. So yeah. Now, how did you get started into PR? How did that happen?
It's nothing glamorous. I would love to say it is, but it's not.
Really?
I was a former college athlete.
You
that
played
was
basketball,
not going
right?
I played basketball.
What position?
Point guard.
You was a point guard.
I was.
I'll D you up.
I thought you wish. I thought that I loved Allen Iverson,
uh-huh,
and my blurred mind not understanding anything about the politics of WNBA and NBA, and that,
uh-huh,
that's never gonna happen. I thought I was gonna be like Allen Iverson for the WNBA.
Right.
And even if you are, you still ain't, that's not a career.
So did you never want to go overseas, or you were just like?
I did, but I got injured like
got
my
injured
first year,
okay,
in, and like that really messes up, especially being young and injured,
right,
like messes up your mind, and it was like full knee surgery,
right,
and I was just, it kind of just rolled out after
just
that.
Just kind of rolled off after that. So
yeah,
then you got into
PR.
Now, how did that take place? How did that happen?
I thought I was going to be a journalism major,
okay,
and then there's a lot of deadlines with that, and you know, college kids, deadlines, partying, that just didn't go very well.
Right.
So I told my communication person, I was like, look, I don't want to do this. And he was like, well, you have all these credits. And I was like, well, what else can I do? And he was like, what about PR? And I was like, I don't know what that is. And he basically was like, you tell stories, you tell people stories, but you're not as a journalist, but just to like to the media so that they want to like tell that person's story. And I was,
wow,
like, oh, I can do that.
You could do that.
Yeah. And I just did. And I've been doing it like 8+ years later.
Nice. Now, who's your favorite client that you think that you've worked with and that you really love and great?
You're really trying to put me on the spot here.
I am.
To all my clients, I love you all for different reasons. Know that.
But who's your favorite?
What? I mean, I do. I really do love them all. Like, I've been blessed to have some awesome clients.
Right.
Like, I've never had major issues with any client ever. But of course, like, you know, one that I'm closest to because he was kind of family before he was a client is Shervin from,
yeah,
Shaw's of Sunset, which is on now. Go watch it.
Yeah,
Bravo TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and so I've just been blessed to work with him, and he's kind of taken me under the wing as like a sister, and like we've just really made it work over the last few years.
And so as I know, like, you know, and you, like you've told me before, just everybody becomes your family. How does that work? Like, you know, because us as artists, like, you know, you're pretty much in control of what we have going on.
Right.
When somebody becomes really close to you and family and all that, how do you deal with that? How are you able to like tell them what they need? Because artists don't know what the hell they need. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we think we do, but we don't.
Yeah. You know, I will say a team effort is really helpful. You,
yeah,
know what I mean? If there's like, you know, not too many players on the squad, but like if there's enough, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm dealing with managers and things, like, it's just really, we all kind of work together to guide you. But more so like a Shervin's case where it's really just me and him a lot of the time. It's just, the best way I can describe it is like how they would have their relationship with their like attorney. You know what I mean? You know, your attorney has all your secrets, protects you, all stuff like that. So, you know, deep down inside, like, they're not trying to mess with you. They're,
right,
trying to make you better. You,
mm-hmm,
know, we're not the media, you know, trying to expose things, or we're not, you know, some crazy ex-girlfriend, you know, trying,
right,
to, you know, whatever. But, you know, so I think deep down inside, that's what they keep inside. And for me, it's like, look, I can do as much as I can for you, but if you're not going to meet me halfway or put in the effort, like, I'm real. It's only going to go this far.
Right.
So you can either, we can play together and make this work, or you can be difficult and I'm going to do the best I can, and the result is what it is.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Now, I know you get this a lot, and being a woman in an industry, I know it can be hard sometimes. But look, you're a very beautiful woman, right? So what's your mix? What is, what do you mix with? What is your ethnicity?
Sure. My mom is Italian, Sicilian to be specific.
Okay.
She's second generation, so her father was like, you know, straight from Sicily. And my dad is full-blooded, barely speaks English, Dominican.
So you got a little crazy on both sides.
It is.
Dominican and Italian.
Right.
Okay.
And it is crazy. I'll be the first to say, like, don't ever let them fool you. Right. Like, if you meet a Dominican, a Latina, an Italian, they're crazy and they're just hiding it. That said, I think that I found a way to kind of channel my crazy into, like, I'm crazy about certain things, like my work ethic and things like that. So I've been able to like ease it into that as opposed to maybe like my friendships and relationships and things that might detriment me later.
Are guys scared to date you? Like, oh my God.
I think they're more scared of like the entertainment thing. If they're not in entertainment, I think that's what usually is more scary for them as opposed to like my mix and stuff like that is like, oh, you're in entertainment.
Right, and then
they're asking questions. Well, what kind, how are you in entertainment? Right. You know what I mean? And I have to be like, no, I'm not a video vixen. I'm not any of those kinds of things. Right. No disrespect to them. That's a different hustle.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm like legitimately like 9 to 5 in this business.
Exactly.
So.
That's what's up. All right. So the name of this podcast, as you know, and I'm excited that you're on it, and I'm happy that you're here. It is called Funny Stories with Ocean. Now, what you do is you tell a great funny story. I give the guests an option for me to go first or you to go first. So you decide on what you want to do.
It's a lot of pressure. Like, you're a comedian. You're always funny. So it's like, oh, tell a funny story, but you're not a comedian.
Right. So listen, I could go second then. I go after you.
Yeah, let me see. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Thank God this isn't live, like out of stage or some shit, like where you get booed off stage, like at the Apollo.
I know, right? God, no. Okay. It's just a funny story. Listen, I've done a few of these, and some people don't.
A few of these? This is your career.
I'm talking about this podcast. I've had some people that think that they know what a funny story is, but you know. No pressure.
Well, I'm going to say I'm not a comedian, so if y'all don't think it's funny, then fuck off.
No, it's just a funny story that's happened to you.
Okay.
Right.
Man, this is hard.
It's all good.
Well, I mean, I feel like I always got to resort back to, like, kids' stories. Because for me, like, I feel like kids are the most, like, vulnerable, like, the most... When you're a kid, you don't care about stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're just, like, so... You're low-key kind of just so confident in what you are. Like, it doesn't matter. So, for me, I think... My story is like Christmas is a big deal, especially with an Italian mother, like, you know, religious, all the above. So it's a big deal. She was a single parent. So, you know, I think she really tried to like make everything bigger than what it was just to like, one, show that like she really did care and loved me, but also like I never did feel this way. But I think in case like you felt like you weren't getting what other kids were getting or you weren't, you know what I mean? So she really put on every, like a show.
So she made it a show. Was birthdays a show too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you got birthdays. How far is your birthday from Christmas?
Like 3 months, March.
Okay. So you was doing it big.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like, you know, whatever you didn't get, 3 months later, you're like, okay, exactly. Like, can you come with that? Right. I wasn't that good. But no, so it was always a big deal. And you know, in my teenage years, I worked.
Okay.
So she didn't know that though, but like I went.
She didn't know that you worked.
I don't even think she understood this situation. Okay, like, let me rewind because this tells into that story. But, like, I had a fake ID and I was working at an underage club. I was not drinking. I was legitimately working. I was doing coat check and hostessing at a club. And I was underage. It was an 18 and up club. So.
Okay, but from what... Okay, so from what time to what time, though?
Well, weekends. So, you know, whatever. And it's like, when you're 16, 17, like, well, I don't know about guys, but like girls, it's like, oh, I'm going to go to my girlfriend's house for the weekend. Like, that was a thing. And there was this one friend that she really trusted. Like, and she's trustworthy. Kelsey, my friend Kelsey was super trustworthy. Good girl. Really good girl. I was a bad one.
Well, she wasn't that trustworthy because she would lie for you every weekend.
No, because she never had to talk to my mom. So, like, she, you know what I mean?
Do you think that she would have lied if she had to talk?
No, she ain't that person.
She would have been like,
she wouldn't have snitched, but she just would have been like, we were just hanging out. She ain't here. Like, you know what I mean? She wouldn't fully out snitch me, but she, you know, my people.
That's hilarious.
But I was working and that's like a whole nother story, but so I was making my own money.
Right.
But Christmas would roll around, and I gotta really be honest and say that I had been doing this for years prior to me working, because I'm, I'm a pre. I have to know what's going on ahead of time.
Right.
And that applies today. I need to know what to wear, how to react, what to look like. And that's just, maybe that's why I'm good at what I do, because I'm pre-planning for all my clients. Like, I need to know all the details in advance, what time we're arriving, all that stuff like that. So, in my infinite wisdom as a kid, I thought it would be smart to know what I'm getting for Christmas. So my mom put all these amazing gifts out. She was like an A1 rapper. She could have been hired by Macy's and Nordstrom's because right. she was so bomb at it, which is hard for me because I can't rap for shit. Like, bags are my friend with the tissue paper. Like, that's how I rap gifts.
Right.
Which is, by the way, is like useless. But anyways, so she, long story short, she wrapped all these gifts. I would go in like 2 days before, after she went to bed, and unwrap these gifts very carefully and see what I got.
Right.
And I thought this was a really good idea. And then when I started making money, I was like, okay, bet. I'm going to buy my other gifts that I wanted on sale and my family's gifts, and then whatever to whatever else I got under the tree to go along with it. Well, 1 year, I went downstairs and I was super into beauty and makeup that year, and I had asked for these amazing MAC cosmetic brushes, which were super expensive. There was about 10 of them. And I was like, oh my God, like, she got them for me. Like, this has to be my main gift. Like, this is so dope, blah, blah, blah. I'm like freaking out inside. And I'm like, shit, I need to recreate this tomorrow when I have to open these.
Right.
So I like go to bed. I'm so excited. I'm like super pumped all day long. We get to unwrapping the presents and I start going through them, right? And I'm just going through all these gifts from like family and friends. And then I like, it dawns on me. I'm like, damn, like, I haven't opened the brushes yet.
Right, right.
And so I like started looking around and I'm like, but like really cautious.
You're looking for these
and
brushes.
I'm like,
you got to play it off.
The fuck? Like, right. I'm like, I know I opened these brushes last night. Like, right. I know they're in this house. So I like start digging through, go back to the tree, like start snooping around. I'm like, damn, like, they are legitimately not here. And I'm like, damn, like, this is shitty. Like, what the fuck? So then I'm like, did this woman like take them back?
Right.
Like, did she take the back the brushes I thought I was getting? And I was like, see, that's some like Indian giver shit. And like, that's the shit she told me never to do to somebody, and she did it to me.
But you wasn't supposed to know. You would have never have known if you hadn't unwrapped these gifts.
But what person wraps the gift and then takes it back?
Do you think that she decided to keep these gifts for herself?
Oh, I never thought about that.
She probably was like, I
no,
like these brushes.
No,
because
I go through her makeup and stuff like that, so I would have seen them. She would have, no, I never saw them.
And you weren't at that age so that you could be like, I asked Santa for some brushes.
No, I was beyond Santa, although she did make me sit on Santa's lap until I was like 18. Like, that was like the like deal. If you want fucking gifts.
You had to sit on Santa's lap.
18. I had
and
all 18
Santa
pictures.
Santa loved to be in your neighborhood.
Which is
when you got to like
so
16,
creepy.
17.
Like, I really think about that. And I'm like, am I going to make my kids sit on a creepy white man's lap? Like, and she never dawned on her that like I'm half Latina. And that's just like creepy. Like, it's a white old man that I don't know. You are not my grandpa. Even my Sicilian grandpa is like 5
right.
shades darker than him.
Right.
Like,
and it's funny because kids don't even want to do it sometimes. They're screaming and hollering.
I don't think they want to do it at all. Because by the time they get over the crying, they realize it's the game, right?
Right.
So they're like, okay, well, I'm not getting nothing if I don't sit on this white man's lap.
Right.
So of course I'm going to sit on it and smile. But like, I don't want to.
Right.
No kid wants to do that.
No kid wants
ever.
To do that.
Never.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
So you don't think that she ever... Do you think that she ever knew that you were, like, looking through the gifts?
I feel like maybe at one point, like, maybe on, like, you know, like, another holiday or some shit like that. Like, she, like, I feel like she dropped little hints. And she was like, oh, like, you knew that? Or, oh, like, you know. And I don't think I ever told her about the specific MAC brushes.
Right, right, right.
But, like, I think she knew because she's really smart. And I was like... But still, like, how are you going to just take back someone's gift like that?
Right, right, right. Dude, but parents, I think parents go through and know what's... Like, I know what's going on with my son. And he tries to play, like, I don't know. But I know. And it just... You just know your kids so well, so you know what's going on. And plus, parents snoop through kids' shit all the time.
Oh, they do.
I think I do that with my son and try to go through his stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's 8. He doesn't know what he...
Yeah, it's
but
not
it's
like there
it's
yet.
Going to happen.
Teenage years.
Right.
Get ready.
You think your mom probably went through your stuff, right?
Oh, my God. All the time.
All the
she
time.
Went through everything.
Right.
Everything. Like, I would come back from, like, like different scenarios, and like my clothes would be folded differently, right, and shit like that. And then if like I ever did say anything, she was like, yeah, I did your laundry. Like, you can't fight that. Oh, okay, you did my laundry. What, are you gonna be mad? No.
Right. Did she ever catch you in anything?
Yeah, I remember this one time, like, and I'm not condoning smoking weed before you're legal to do so, but
right,
I was a teenager, and I, you know, we all try to be cool, right? You all try to be like the cool person, and honestly, I was not a weed smoker. Did drink when I was like before 21, but the smoking thing was just never my thing. I was a singer. I don't like fucking up my voice like that.
Right.
So but like everyone else, I tried it, and like at the time, like a 90s kid in Seattle, like fucking pipes and like bombs, right, all right, the shit like that, which is like not the shit that I was used to from like my other friends, who were just like, let me just roll a blunt, right? But so I bought one. I bought a pipe, this little like tiny little green pipe, and I thought it was cute, and I was like, oh, this is super cute. Well, I'm a girl, okay? Like, everyone else is like, let me just smoke out of it, and I'm just like, this is so cute though. Stupid. But I kept it dumb in my backpack, and I left my backpack in the living room one day. Yes, of course, she went through it. I had left, came back like a few hours later, and she was being ultra nice.
Right.
Now, any Italian mom will tell you that, yes, we're nice like around dinner time, food time, birthdays, Christmas, but like on the day-to-day, like overly really, nice right, is right, like sign number one.
Right.
But I was like, whatever. And she was just being super nice, like, can I make you food, blah, blah, blah. And like Italian women are usually like that with like the man, right, not so much the girl.
Right.
So I was like, this is weird, but whatever. And so I'm like doing stuff around the house. About an hour later, I go up to my room, and sitting on my bed, like I said, she's an amazing gift wrapper. She perfectly bow wrapped my pipe and laid it on the pillow. And I was like,
wow.
What?
How did you react off that? How did you?
My thing was like, you didn't say nothing? Because if I was a parent, as soon as you walk in the house, like, I'm right, going in on you.
But that's the Dominican side.
Yeah.
Right. But you think you can play
with
me?
Yeah. You're right. But she tricked me though, because so I go and see, and I'm a kid, like I'm not admitting to nothing until, right, I mean, I know it's sitting on my pillow and you put it right, there and wrapped
right,
it,
right,
but I'm not saying nothing until right, I get called on the carpet. Right. So I come right back downstairs, like nothing ever happened. And I'm like, you know, rolling around, dinner rolls around. We sit down for dinner, and she's like, so you weren't going to say nothing about what was on your pillow? And I was like, well, what do you mean? Like, why do kids do that? Like,
right.
At this point, you have been caught. Like, but you're still gonna just be like, but what are you talking about?
My son does that all the time.
Right. Like, what do you mean?
He'll say it. I mean, I'm catching him.
Right.
Yeah. So that'll be my story afterward. I'll tell you a story about that. But go ahead. So yeah.
So, and I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, question mark. What are you talking about?
Right.
And she's just like, you have drug paraphernalia. First of all, you're underage. Secondly, at the time, it was illegal anyways,
right,
so you should not even be having it. And third, you have it in the house, which
right,
is, like, even worse. And I'm like, yeah, but... And I start to, like, backpedal, and then she just laid in.
Just
like,
laid in.
Like, she switched from Italian to Dominican at that point, even though she's not, and just, like, was like, clearly I see the, like, reasoning, the, like, logical reasoning's not going to work with you this time around. Like, now I'm just going to, like... And it, like, no car, no phone, no, like, you're done.
It done.
Like, you're, like, a good month of nothing.
And that had to be, you were, like, what, 16, 17, 18?
Yeah, like, 16 or 17.
Jeez.
And I was just, like, this is the worst. And but to see the funny part is that being an only child, I knew how to entertain myself.
Right.
So, okay, you want to keep me in the house all that? Like, I entertained the hell out of myself.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Like, I would sing, I would write, I would play on my guitar, I would play whatever, like, I just... It's fine. You can keep me in the house. Like, I got this.
That's what's up.
So I felt like it was never, like, it was a lot of people would be, like, punish kids. Like, kids that have, like, ADD and want to, like, run around mm-hmm. all the time. Like, go to your room. They're like, oh, my God. Like, just sit here. Like, nothing. And I was like, no, I got this.
But
like,
you got this. You would do the whole.
We're going to have a whole show. It's going to be great. I'm going to be here for a few days. Check me out Monday through Sunday. Yeah.
That's good. I got two stories out of you.
You did.
I did.
But I feel like they all came into one.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, single,
yeah,
parents.
I got
a lot of stories.
Parent stories are, like, the best stories because it just happens. Like, when you're a kid, there's so much that happened, right? And it's just great. I remember, I'm going to tell my, I was going to tell the story of Taylor, but it's funny, but it's short. But I remember, I'll tell another story. So I grew up in the hood, right?
Okay.
And so,
but like, you gotta define the hood, because I say I grew up in the hood too, but there's like the hood, there's like the projects, there's like the hood, and then there's like inner city. So like, how hood are we talking?
Okay,
about?
So all right, that's fair, but
right.
Yes, but I don't. Okay, I grew up in the hood, I feel.
Oh, okay.
So is the hood. Okay, so the projects.
Because I'm inner city. But I'm not the
okay,
projects.
Okay, so projects are the worst.
Yeah, that's like you really lived your life.
You wasn't living
before
your life.
Before you were like.
You're right.
You've experienced it all by the time you're 10.
The hood is right above the projects.
Yeah, like you've elevated.
And then inner city is right above the hood.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like also cultured, just on a scale of like. You could die.
Is,
you
is
might see
the
some,
hood?
Like,
or
no,
is,
you could die. It's like you're in the projects. Like, you might step out and you could get shot.
That's the hood.
No, I feel like that's the projects. Like, every day. Like,
right.
I'm talking about
okay.
daily.
All right.
Hood is like, okay, maybe like once or twice a week. Like, you might die.
So, are you familiar with LA at all?
I am a little bit.
Okay, so I'm from New Orleans and LA. I will come back
yeah,
and forth.
Yeah,
yeah, so I'm from New Orleans, but I will come back to LA and spend my summers in LA. In the hood.
Okay.
Which was right off of La Brea and Coliseum. So La Brea Rodeo, I grew up in the jungles.
Okay.
All right, so it's hood. Gangsters.
It was in that era, too.
But it wasn't the projects like Watt.
Yeah, see, that's see, like, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm
okay.
a hood dude.
Okay,
I grew up
yeah,
in
yeah.
the hood. All right, so I remember in my apartment building, there's a gang of different characters, right?
Okay.
I lived up on the second floor, me and my two brothers and mom, and then under us was Johnny and Tasha. Tasha was the, like, the building neighborhood host, sort of. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She had a lot, right? And then they had Maria. Maria was the neighborhood, like, gossip girl.
Okay, don't tell her shit.
Don't tell her shit, but she knew everything.
Right.
Everything, but everybody wanted to hang out with her because she was super, super cool.
Okay.
Right? But she was just gossip.
Right.
Right? Then you had upstairs, you had the manager, her three kids, and she didn't play no shit. She was just like, don't be fucking up my building. Keep everything clean. Right next to her was this killer, Tyree. He was a fucking killer. He spent like 20 years in jail. On the other side, they had this dude downstairs who would lie and say about everything. He would say he played in the NBA.
Lives in the hood.
Lives in the hood. But when you were a kid,
you're just like, oh, shit.
You're just like, oh, shit.
Do you know Gary Payton?
Right.
Michael Jordan.
Exactly. He was swagged out. You know what I'm saying? He had a cool car. So it was like, I guess you could.
Yeah. It's like you might have, but then something happened.
Yeah, he would be like, I'm coming over here because my girl over here. So he would be like, I only be over here because my girl be over here. But he lived there.
Right.
But he was bullshit.
Yeah.
Right?
He
was bullshit. And then we had next to that. So it was just like a big circle. We had next to that, we had my girl Tanya and her family. And then under that, we had Maurice and his family. His mom was so mean and just crazy mean. All right. So now Johnny, who lived under us, was like a wannabe gangster nigga.
Okay.
And he would do anything. Like, he was just on some stupid shit. Like, just dumb.
Shit that you know real gangsters would never do, but he, like, watched too many movies like Belly and thought that he was.
Exactly. And he would just do stupid shit. And, like, I don't know, he must have been chemically off or something. He'd just be on some bullshit, right?
Right.
So, I remember I was fucking Tasha, his sister.
Okay.
For a while. But we wasn't...
Wait, how old are you?
How old am I now?
No.
Oh, and at this time, 14,
15?
Yeah, I was getting early. I was fucking... Right?
Okay.
My mom would go and do the whole Jehovah's Witness thing, and I would bring...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Right? So my mom would be gone, and I would bring Tasha upstairs, smash in the room, and...
Your brother's in your mom's room watching TV.
Jacket off.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Family dynamics. Got it.
So go down, right? So this time, I remember Me and Tasha ditched school, right? So my mom is gone to work. My brothers are supposed to be in school. Me and Tasha, we ditched school. We were able to like sneak into our apartment so the manager wouldn't see us and all. So we smash or whatever. My brothers come home early, right? And I'm like, shit. So Tasha runs and hurry up and get into this water heater, right? Fully naked. Fully naked in the water heater. My two brothers and my our play cousin and Johnny.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So they come, we come to the house. Johnny, I'm like, oh, shit. All right, so my brothers is like, they know me.
Right.
And so I'm just free. I'm walking around the house, and my older brother goes, yo, where the girl at? Right? And I'm like, what you mean? There ain't no girl here. He's like, bullshit. You at home early. There's a girl here. Where's she at? I'm like, ain't no girl here, right?
Wow, you just so, too many movies. I'm telling you, right? It'll like cloud your thoughts.
So they start looking for this girl through the house.
Oh my god!
Everywhere.
Poor girl. I feel bad for the girl, not you.
They're looking for this girl through the house. They get through the house, right? They don't find her. They didn't look in the water heater, right? I'm like. My boy, Eric, who was our play cousin, was like, he got a girl. Oh, yeah, we forgot the water heater. Open up. Tasha's in there. Naked.
Oh, my God. Just done. Did she scream? What did she do?
No,
I would die.
She, my brother just...
I would die now at 30-something, let alone, like, my teenage son.
Yeah, she's like... Well, I think we were like 15, 16. I won't say I went too early, but 15, 16. My brother, Johnny, just face dropped. He just leaves.
Yeah, because that's awkward, and he's a grown-ass man. Just saw, like, a little girl naked. Like, he ain't trying to stay around for that.
No, he's, like, he's like maybe... Like 17, 18. He's a little older than me.
Enough to catch a case.
Yeah, yeah. So he goes downstairs, right? Mm-hmm. My brother's like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, y'all motherfuckers, if you just left it alone, I could have just told. But my brothers was into, my brothers would go snitch on me, so I didn't want to tell. They would, sometimes it would be snitch, sometimes it wouldn't. So I would just be like,
hey, man,
sure. I wasn't sure, so I couldn't tell him.
Right.
Right? And Johnny, whatever. So... I go to, it's like a couple of hours later, I'm over.
And she leaves.
She's gone.
Yeah, she
has to down, she has to be downstairs.
By a certain time.
Dealing with whatever her brother, this is during the day that was, because I did school.
Oh my God.
So I go over to the manager's house, right? I go up to the manager's house, I'm there. The manager, I'm standing there, and then he calls the manager and was like, yeah, come down, I'm about to fuck you up, right? So I'm like, shit, this motherfucker, like, he about to fuck me up. And the manager's like, she's like, yo, you better call your brothers. Like, shit, you got two brothers. It don't fucking matter. Like, whatever. So I'm like, all right. I go downstairs. Right, go downstairs. I don't know what happens, but we miss each other on fighting, and I go into Maria's house, which is the door right next to the door.
Okay.
Like it's the door, like it's both. Well, I'm in there talking. I'm telling them what's happening, what's going on, and then my mom is late at night. My mom comes home. Right, she stops off at Johnny's house because her and the mom are very good friends. So Johnny, chemically imbalanced, is like, yeah, I'm going to fuck your son up. Talking to my mom crazy. My brothers hear this. They open up the door, and he's like in my mom's face. My brothers rush down.
Right.
Jumping him. I come, out of Maria's house, oh right? Not thinking my mom even see me in Maria's house when I'm never supposed to be in Maria's house.
Right.
Come in, we fighting. We through all through the building. My oldest brother trying to break Johnny's leg. All kind of shit. Being away, we finally, police come, break everything up. We go upstairs. My mom asking, like, what's going on? What happened?
Yeah, why is
all
you,
that? We all like, I don't know. She's like, okay. So what my mom would do is know that something was happening. She would give out whippings just because. She's like, fuck it. Y'all don't want to tell me? Everybody's getting it.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So
that's definitely a method for sure.
So my mom starts spanking everybody. Then she spanks me and she goes, now I'm going to give you an extra spanking because you thought I didn't see you coming out of Maria's house.
Oh, shit.
So I got two double spankings based off of that night and a fight.
That's a lot.
That was
just to get a nut. That's
never
a lot.
Again. And I didn't even get the nut because I was.
You done fucked
they
up.
They came home.
All that pain and
they
nothing.
Came home.
That's a bust.
That was the last time I never talked to Tasha. I never tried to fuck Tasha again. And now she's like a lesbian. So it's cool.
That's good to know.
Good to know.
Well, I would be mortified and lesbian too. Like, if I got stuck in that fucking heater and everyone in the building saw me naked. Oh my God.
True story. Are like the best true stories.
No, teenage and kid stories, hands down, are always. Because it's like, you don't have, when you're a kid and even a teenager, you might have insecurities. But like, once you hit adult, it's like, once responsibilities start hitting, like, you always then have more of a conscience about things. You know what I mean? When you're like, oh, fuck, I got to pay that bill. I got to go to work tomorrow. Like, shit like that. So it like inhibits you from really being who the fuck you are.
Exactly.
To a certain degree. And sometimes it's a good thing for some people. And sometimes it, like, you know, isn't. But
so I'm so excited you did my podcast.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
So tell everybody where they can reach you, social media, all that good
stuff.
Sure.
All my stuff across the board is at Alexandria with an I, bomb. It's BAUM.
Okay. So if they want to see how pretty you are, how beautiful
you are,
and all that, they could do that. And then now you're going to be having dudes DMing you like, yo,
nah,
can you
don't
rep
slide
me?
Those
yo,
fucking
come
DMs
on.
And shit. I be miss me with that.
When guys be DMing, you
miss
be like
miss me with DMs, and if you're talking about work, it specifically says email me right here.
So if they don't email you, that means that they can't follow directions. You ain't even trying to fuck
with
me.
Oh yeah,
if
you can't even fucking follow one direction to email somebody, I like we're good.
That's what's
and don't
up.
Send me your mixtapes. I'm not a manager. That's all. Thank you.
Yo,
I told you I'm prepared. Like, I am prepared and organized. Don't come for me.
Right. Well, this has been another episode of Funny Stories with Osha Glapion. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you. Congratulations on your show.
Thank
your
you,
podcast.
Man. I appreciate it. I'm glad that you were able to come and do it. It was great. Two stories we got out of you.
I know.
I'm going to have to invite
Mom.
You again.
All the stories. Mom, don't listen. Thanks.
That's right. Until next time. Peace.